podcast is being brought to you by Stellar Blu Technologies, the official website developer and multimedia company for The Mile of Music. Please check us out at stellarbluetechnologies.com. The Mile of Music offers 1 mile of free musical performance with over 200 artists and well over 900 shows throughout this four-day event. This is a must-attend annual event in the Fox Cities, and it's growing every year. Over 80,000 people attended in 2018, and it's getting even bigger. I'd really like to introduce you guys to Me Like Bees. They've agreed to come in. Thanks, fellas. Really appreciate you coming in to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
So I'm going to ask the obvious question right out of the gate. Mile of Music, how'd you find out about it? I know you guys have played here a number of times.
Yeah.
Kind of share us about your experience, you know, your experience with the Mile. And
totally. Anyone have a, I think the first time we heard about this festival was from a band called The Noise FM. They were telling us about it many years ago. I don't know, it was like 6 years ago. And they were saying, you have to play this festival. And I think that was even in the really early days of Mile. So that was probably after mile two or three or something like that. But yeah, I just remember them coming back and saying it was a great experience and telling us about it. And I think we kind of did some digging the following year or two and then figured out how to submit for it and did, and luckily we got picked.
You know, what makes doing the Mile so special to you? I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I'm kind of curious.
Personally, for me, I would think the most special part of Mile, and, you know, because we've played festivals before, and the difference at Mile, and even the first year where we played, you'd get the repeat concert goers, you know. You'd be, oh, my gosh, we just caught this set. It was amazing. We're going to catch your next one in an hour. And, you know, and just from the first Mile onward, that was really, really cool to experience that you know, people want to spend time with you again and again. And that's been the most special thing so far, in my opinion, about Mile specifically. And that's what separates Mile from any other festival we've played. It's just, man, that set was amazing. I want to go experience it again. And, you know, and we want to, we thought of those people specifically when we were making our sets this year, and we're playing three different sets for people like that specifically, you know, and say, hey, we value your time. We want to be a good steward of it. And we're playing a different set every single time you come and see us this year. Because thank you to people that do that, you know.
Cool, yeah.
So that's been the most special thing about Mile for me anyway, but.
I was sharing earlier, I was driving to work the other day, actually to a meeting, and I heard on the local radio station Josh Duclos talking how important it was he had to see you guys. And he was really playing you up big on the
Josh.
Radio, so I just wanted to pass that along to you, and I'm sure you wanted to know that. So,
yeah, thanks.
You know, you've been working on a new song. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, this is a song called Heartbeats. It's kind of a summer jam. You know, we've been doing this thing with singles for a couple years now, or like a year and a half, where we're just kind of putting out a new single every few months. And, this song is really just kind of about infatuation, like young love, you know, and, kind of to a fun backbeat, you know, just kind of a thumper, man. Yeah.
Cool.
Anyone else?
When does that come out? When is that going to be available?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Oh, congratulations.
Tomorrow, the 2nd, so, yeah.
August 2nd, yeah. August 2nd, 2019.
Tomorrow, whenever you're listening to this. Yeah, super relative, yeah.
So, share with me a little bit about your creative process and how it's kind of evolved over the years. You know, we talked about that a little bit in emails, and I'd like you to talk and share with the audience and your fans. You guys kind of touched on it a little bit briefly, so new set?
Yeah, I mean, as far as creatively, when you're talking about new music and stuff like that, it's usually just an idea that either me or Luke will come up with, and we'll bring it to practice and work it out with these guys. You know, everybody kind of throws in their own, you know, personal suggestions on something or how to make it a little bit better, you know, whether we need to shorten it, you know, whether it's even a song we want to continue doing. So everybody, you know, kind of gets their say on it. And sometimes, you know, Luke, like with this one, Luke pretty much, that we're releasing on August 2nd, like Luke pretty much had everything down as far as structure-wise and everything like that. So that was one that we were all just happy enough with. So no need to mess with it too much and just went with it.
One thing I want to ask, and this is a challenge for every band I've ever dealt with, is each individual member has kind of their own taste in music, the things that they gravitate to. And it's usually tied to things that they like to play or instruments they like to play or sounds that they like. How do you guys get together and come up with a sound that's me like bees and not individual sound? How does that work? What does that look like?
I think the best way is just being open to suggestion. So I think that you make stuff, and I think we all have a commitment to, you know, serving the song. So it's like, even though maybe one of us leans towards a certain genre or a certain feel or sound or whatever, if it doesn't serve the song, then it probably doesn't belong in the song.
Cool.
So I think we all have that kind of commitment to it, I would say.
Keeping open-minded.
Yeah, it's just, you know, because, you know, sometimes, like, for instance, with this song, if Luke had said, hey, this is the way it's going to be, you know, he doesn't say that. Like, we would always have that option of saying, hey, we think this needs to be changed. But once again, if we don't all feel that it serves the song or makes it better, which I guess that did happen because we had, you know, we got this song back, the first mix of it, and he wanted to add something to it. We added it, didn't do anything for the rest of us. Luke liked it, but it just didn't end up being in there. So, I mean, it's just kind of a give and take.
Cool.
So if he really wanted it in, it was his song, and we would have kept it in. But it was just that idea of being open-minded and saying, you know, if it's not doing it for everybody, then maybe it doesn't belong in there.
Very good. Because that can be, especially if somebody holds on to their opinion hard.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I'll add some, too. I think I'd say a big part of that, too, is having... if you can rationalize why you feel the way you feel, you know, because if Luke's like, hey, I really, when he brought us this song, he's like, I like this song, this is what it's about, this is the reason that, you know, I wrote it, that helps me, Lewis, Pete, you know, okay, this is the point of what we're doing, and let's do what serves that purpose, you know, and I think that's, you know, Luke and Pete are excellent, Lewis is excellent at articulating, you know, hey, I'm playing this part because... instead of just, I like it, you know,
right.
And so I think we're all really good at that. But yeah, I'd say that's a huge part of our creative process.
So being able to articulate what you're thinking and give reason to it rather than just, it's a preference.
Yeah.
I think it's smart. Yeah, that's very smart. So, you know, I'm going to ask you a question, your creative process that evolved over the years. I want to add something to that. When you guys write a song and you perform it for the first time, there's a version of it. Then you perform it for the 10th time, it kind of evolves, and the 40th and the 50th time. Can you share with us how that works? You know, I mean, is that something that you do based on audience feedback, your own thinking when you hear it? Is it something that you just try, or somebody's throwing something in they didn't throw?
Yeah.
I shouldn't answer the question for you.
I think for me, the drummer, you know, it changes every night regardless just because of... trying some little thing, you know, but as a band, the conscious effort comes when it's like, okay, we've played this song in Appleton the past 5 times this way, so we're going to intentionally change it up from the onset. You know, we're going to try this thing here and try this thing here and see how it goes, you know, and so I think it's, as a group, it's an intentional effort of not letting things be stagnant for the listener, and for us, you know, it's good, you know, to not let things be stagnant as well.
Sure.
Keeps us on our toes, helps us to, like, be sharp with things, you know. So
well, it's cool the first time you played it and the first 100 times you played it, but after you hit your 1,000th time, you know, then it's maybe have some fun with it a little bit.
Right,
you
know? Totally.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
That sounds great. You know, you talked about music being a worthwhile investment of your time and attention. Share with us a little bit about what you mean by that.
As far as, like, in the context of, like, ourselves, like, why it's important to us.
Well,
and why
maybe let me rephrase the question a little bit differently. Rather than saying it that way, let me ask you, at what point did you realize that your passion for music, that this thing that you're doing that you love, is going to become something you're going to do to make a living at? You know, when you're going to finally cross over from, I want to be a band, to, we are a band, and now we're a touring band.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I made the decision when I was in college, lying depressed and alone in my bed at night, like at 2 a.m. in the morning. I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm going to go do this. And I made that decision. Then I moved back home the following semester to start working on this band. So, you know, as far as the process of getting to the point to where you're just a band and you're a touring band, That just takes time and effort, just like any startup business does,
sure.
Figuring out how to do it and not lose money every time. So.
And that's always the magic, right?
Yeah.
You know, doing it and, yeah. and making a living at doing it. Because it is expensive to travel, there's mm-hmm. no doubt about it.
Does anybody else want to answer that question? Yeah.
I think for me, it comes back to, like, you know, the fans and the experience of, you know, some people tell you crazy things that they'll have chosen not to do because they heard your music, or they chose to do something because they heard your music, you know, and, like, that's kind of impactful, you know, you don't get that just sitting around watching Netflix,
sure.
you know.
A serious influence on somebody's life.
Right,
man.
Yeah, so that, to me, that makes it worthwhile, you know, and especially for me, leaving a wife and a kid at home to come do this stuff, it's got to have more value than just money,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's nice too, you know, I can't do it if I'm not getting paid, but mm-hmm. I also like doing it because I know it has impact and value to somebody else and to each of us too, you know, we value our time with each other, and it, you know, it impacts our lives too, you know,
very
just
good.
Being able to be creative.
As far as the songwriting and collaboration, how you guys come to a song, what does that look like? You know, share that with. Do each of you write a song? Does somebody write a song? Do you all collaborate? What does that look like?
For the most part, it's Pete or I will write either a complete song or have an idea, and then it's just, you know, it's depending on how much you believe in that idea, you know, you bring it and you show it, you know, or you, you know, kind of develop it further, either individually or with everyone. Sometimes we do, you know, like where we'll develop it ourselves, bring it, we play through it once, record it, and then it's not 6 months until we bring it back. You know, it's like, well, that, you know, that didn't go as I wanted, or, you know, it's just, it's not strong enough yet.
It sounded better in my head.
Right. Or it's just like, yeah, I don't know what this is yet. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't.
You got the start of something, but you haven't.
We always talk about the feel of a song, and it's almost like whenever you start writing a song, it gives you a feeling, or like, you know, and then it's like, now how do I keep that? And so when you bring it and you play it together, and maybe it lacks that, it's like, well, I'm trying to protect that feeling. And so if we don't have it, I don't want to, you know, sure. I don't want to just throw it out there. So, you know, it doesn't. I mean, 80% of the time it doesn't arrive at that feeling, but like, and that sounds like it's such a disappointment, but you know, that's just the nature of it. You nail it about once every five times, it feels like, where it's like, that's exactly what I had in my head,
okay.
you know, and you know, it's, but so much of it is, you know, I don't know, it's like you just kind of have to scratch and claw your way through the idea to get to where it needs to be, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, sometimes it comes easy, but most times it, you know, doesn't.
You got to work at it.
Yeah.
Got to work at it. I appreciate that thing about the eliciting emotions, because I don't know about you guys, but for songs, that's really, you know, pulling me into it emotionally and affecting me the way I think or the what I'm hearing. Even what you said earlier, I think that's the power of music. You know, change people's minds, influence their thinking, or they're going through a troubled time and they're sharing that with you through your song. Very cool. You know, you guys ever collaborate with any other musicians or... outside of your band, you ever, or maybe a better way to put it is, have you ever heard another song that you've been stuck on, and all of a sudden there's just this little piece that says, oh my God, I love that, I got to remember that, or anything like that, or is that not a thing? I don't know, I'm not a songwriter, so bear with me, that may be a dumb question.
No, it's not a dumb question. I think a lot of people, we all know lots of people who are in 1,000 different projects and doing things like that. I try not to. I know that's weird, but like, I may play one or two acoustic shows. Jake's a rapper. He's actually playing a set today, which is August 1st, 2019.
There's a story.
Yeah,
behind
you
that.
Are gonna miss it. You are gonna miss it. Yeah. You know, Lewis plays in another band called The Twos, which is an Americana band. I don't want to speak for everyone, but we don't.
We have collaborated with other musicians before, but not in the way. I mean, yeah, we like, for instance, we have a friend named Caleb Dennison. He's a very respected musician, and where we're from in Joplin, just has been in lots of projects. Is just kind of known for having a producer's ear, so. You know, we had an EP coming up, and we didn't have a ton of time to, like, just completely flesh it out, so we knew that we were going to need a little bit of help. So we just asked him to come in the studio, and he offered to do it pro bono and just came with, spent the day with us a couple times and just was like, you know, gave his suggestions. Didn't really change the song, but, you know, made it, you know, because since he's outside of the project, he can say, okay, we'll do this instead of that, and it's going to sound better, you know, little things like that.
Sure.
And then obviously whoever we're recording with, we always, you know, ask their opinions on something, how they think, you know, because sometimes as a musician you get stuck in how something sounds or whatever, and it's hard to think outside the box.
Sure.
So, yeah.
You're too close to it yourself. You know.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. That pretty much wraps it up. Is there anything else that you guys want to share with the fans or make sure about projects or anything upcoming that you want to make sure people know about? I know you got the new song. Where can they find that new song, by the way?
Spotify.
Yeah, they can find any of our music on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes. We're doing the thing where we give away our singles for free to our email list. So if you want to sign up for that, it's just Me Like
Bees. Sign up on Me Like Bees for the email list. For
me
sure.
MeLikeBees.com, and you can sign up there. And, yeah, we always send out, you know, exclusive content to them and the songs for free when the songs come out and just insider stuff. Like, hey, this is what we're working on. Hey, check out these behind-the-scenes pictures. Hey, this is what Luke's reading right now. This is what Lewis is listening to. Or stuff like that. So, yeah, that would be that's always a great way to connect with us and our music. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for coming in and taking the time out of your schedule. I know you're busy here. You've got a number of shows, so we do appreciate it. Be sure to add the Mile of Music to your must-attend summer festivals. There's no other venue where you can experience more music that is absolutely free, 60-plus locations, over 200 artists, over 900 shows. Stellar Blue Technologies, the official website developer and multimedia company for the Mile of Music, thanks Me Like Bees for spending their time with us and sharing their experiences. Thank you again, guys.
Thank you.